Shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Worship and warfare, holy places, and in His hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, as usual on Friday mornings, is Joel Skousen from the World Affairs Brief, and we're going to be talking about, so many issues. Where are we going to start, Joel?
Well, let's start, Stan, with the half-hearted Afghan withdrawal. This week, President Obama promised a gradual drawdown of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. After completion, there will be still more troops on the ground than before the surge occurred. In other words, this isn't really a drawdown, but a drawdown only of the surge troops. In any case, a complete withdrawal is not likely to ever be implemented. There are major crises brewing in neighboring Pakistan that will ensure U.S. presence until a wider Middle East war results from continued U.S. meddling in the region. The crisis in Syria, Iran, and Libya will ensure even more trouble in the short term. What Obama has done is a typical political ploy in the face of rising political opposition to war. Throw the opposition a bone of concession, and it will keep them satisfied for another year. Promise them what you want, what they want, and they'll forget all about it when you fail to deliver and the next crisis comes around to justify continued occupation. ABC News summarized the decision. Obama announced Wednesday evening that U.S. and its allies had achieved enough in Afghanistan to merit a drawdown of forces beginning this summer. Obama said 10,000 troops would come home by the end of the year, followed by 23,000. That would leave 68,000 troops there. Well, you know, they can say at any time we've made enough achievements to start a drawdown, but in fact, they haven't even begun to turn the corner in Afghanistan of winning a military victory. They still have tremendous opposition. The government has even more opposition than before. The corruption is rampant. The civilian casualties from U.S. drone strikes have been extremely unpopular with the people. I cannot say with any degree of confidence that there is anything positive enough to justify a drawdown. That said, the point is that there isn't a military mission here that can succeed. Admiral Mike Mullen says he isn't comfortable with a hastily arranged drawdown, typical for a military man who sees more force as the solution. That's exactly what it said. More force for more time is, without doubt, the safer course. But I don't think they understand that in a guerrilla warfare type situation among an occupied people, you can't continue to kill people. It's just an almost inexhaustible supply, wear out our taxpayers' money as well as military equipment. There's just no way that this kind of war is winnable. Of course, there will be undoing of military gains. Military gains have been made simply by moving into certain areas and using a lot of troops to actually shut down commerce and check everybody coming in and out of the area. And as soon as you withdraw, that area is going to go back to what it was. Mullen did not reveal his own recommendation to Obama, but indicate that the president's approach comes closer to risking failure. Well, failure is going to be assured whether you stay or you go. It's just a matter of how you leave the country, and I think leaving the country with a voluntary withdrawal of troops is better for the people, and they look upon you more kindly than if you continued to exacerbate and uphold, for example, a corrupt government. The civilian side of the country is corrupt and unstable. It will always be that way. The Taliban will now take a wait-till-they-leave attitude, which always works. Indigenous guerrilla forces can always outlast an opponent who suffers continual losses and the high expense of occupation and nation-building. Sadly, the military doesn't really understand that reforming the nation isn't the real goal of the intervention, nor do they care about saving money or lives. Globalists create war for war's sake.
And acknowledged, and I think we have to ask, what are we doing in Afghanistan? Well, President Obama said we're fighting the terrorists, we're protecting America, but both Leon Panetta and General James Jones, the former National Security Advisor, both acknowledged there's only between 50 and 100 members of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. So if we're fighting terrorism, why does it take, you know, almost 90,000 American troops, then another 110,000 contractors, and 46,000 NATO troops to fight between 50 and 100 members of Al-Qaeda? Ladies and gentlemen, we're being lied to. This is designed to help bankrupt America, to kill off many of our fine and bravest young men. It is a totally senseless war. It's criminal. We should not be there. And, of course, this gets right back to why we went originally. We went there because 19 hijackers commandeered four American airplanes and crashed them by one means or another on September 11th. At least that's the official conspiracy theory. The only trouble is six of those 19 hijackers came back to life afterwards. They're living and well in the Middle East. You can look over the Internet, find numerous references to it. The government's never denied that. They just totally ignore. How is it possible for people to come back to life after they were killed on September 11th, 2001? Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, as typical of most things with the war on terror, they simply avoid the tough arguments and the tough evidence, and they simply keep talking up the terrorist attack on 9/11 as if, you know, it's a fact. It's just like global warming. It doesn't matter how much evidence against it, they just keep pounding global warming as reality, and because of carbon footprint and all this stuff, it's just a massive steamroller of propaganda that cannot be stopped. Well, typical of mainstream Republican response, House leaders opposed the drawdown for the wrong reasons. John Boehner complained that the Obama would sacrifice the gains the U.S. made in Afghanistan. Well, those gains will be lost almost as soon as the last troops leave anyway. I mean, you see the point. It's a matter of what good is it to keep spending money, billions and billions of dollars over there, when, in fact, when you leave, it's going to revert back to what it was anyway. There are gains from goodwill and humanitarian work but done by U.S. troops that will last, with a few Afghans that were touched. But much more damage overall will remain due to the high civilian death count and corruption introduced by so much American money and the maintenance of the drug trade to buy off the opposition. True to his neocon roots, Arizona Senator John McCain said the drawdown was, quote, too rash. Congressman Ron Paul complained for the right reasons. But even with the president's call for a drawdown, he said there would be more troops remaining than there were at the beginning of his administration. We cannot and should not police nations, build their bridges and roads, and spend endless resources doing so when here at home we are struggling with our own financial crisis. The president's weak withdrawal plan, coupled with the unconventional war he's waging, shows a lack of leadership that we cannot support.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here on the American Freedom Network.
Brands Grooming in Greeley is saluting the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for the economic and political freedom we daily enjoy. Let's remember them in our thoughts, prayers, and letters from home. Remember our troops' efforts abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. This message is from Franz Grooming, 109 North 49th Street in Greeley, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and for their sacrifices.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA, gift of the earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Here at the American Freedom Network, our guest is, of course, Joel Skousen. Joel, you go right ahead.
Well, we're talking about Ron Paul's response that we cannot and should not build nations, bridges and roads and police nations and build fences around countries when we have needs of all those things. Naturally, Obama played to this criticism in his speech to the nation, talking about returning to do nation building at home. Well, hope springs eternal with these kinds of slick words, but none of the stimulus policies of the administration or any other can solve the problem here in this nation. Robert Dreyfus, writing for The Nation, had perhaps one of the better analyses of this problem in in Afghanistan. He said, Obama said a lot of the right things last night. That's always the way that speeches are. You know, they say the right things, or at least what appear to be the right things, but the numbers just don't add up. More importantly, in his all too brief, almost throwaway address to the nation, he failed to articulate any rationale for his current policy. By keeping up to 90,000 troops in Afghanistan this year and nearly 7,000 through next year, what does he hope to accomplish? Well, sadly, it looks as if he hopes to accomplish his reelection by splitting the difference between hawkish aides, General Petraeus, Bob Gates, and Hillary Clinton, who wanted even slower pullout, and doves, such as Vice President Biden and Tom Donilon, the National Security Advisor who reportedly advocated the withdrawal of the entire surge troops, 33,000. Obama's clearly trying to take Afghanistan off the table as an election year issue in 2012. Well, there really are no such things as hawks and doves in the administration. People are assigned to play certain roles so that it appears as if there's, you know, differences of opinion. His strategy is likely to work, although most Americans, especially Democrats and independents, want the United States to get out of Afghanistan. Few of them care enough about it or about foreign policy in general to shape their voting around it. Most likely, Obama has nullified Afghanistan as an election issue. As for the Republicans, they're still suffering over the Vietnam War syndrome, where the United States sabotaged that war because it was a war correctly trying to dismantle communism in Southeast Asia, and that's why our government made this war unpopular and drew it out as long as possible and then sabotaged at the end. They wanted to give people a bad taste in their mouth about defending the world against communism. But now that war is about occupation and globalist objectives, war is popular, and unfortunately Republicans tend to go along knee-jerk patriotic reasons for supporting war, and that's where we find almost all of the Republicans, unfortunately, except for Ron Paul, who is in the debates, for example, in the presidential candidates, has been the only one to state a unique and different foreign policy. As the New York Times asked in its editorial yesterday, Obama will need to do a lot more to explain why it is in this country's strategic interest to stick things out for another 3+ years and why this drawdown plan has any credible chance of leaving behind an Afghanistan that won't implode as soon as American troops are gone. And I can guarantee it will implode. Hamid Karzai is a very unpopular president, very corrupt administration, as will any administration that follows on afterwards. For the next 3 years, at least, the United States will be fighting a hopeless counterinsurgency war against an enemy with safe havens across the border in Pakistan and with a strong presence in wide areas of Afghanistan itself, especially outside the major cities. The White House official also said, we haven't seen a terrorist threat emanate from Afghanistan for at least 7 or 8 years. That backs up what you were saying about some 50 members of Al-Qaeda. The threat has come from Pakistan. Indeed, as for that is the real threat, is the instability in Pakistan, and the United States is partially responsible for having suborned and bribed so many of the Pakistan military into supporting U.S. covert operations, including looking the other way when our terrorists, the ones, the Al-Qaeda that the U.S. directs through covert operations, does their work to promote this war on terror. And, of course, the situation in Syria is no better. It is coming to a head. Western intervention in Syria would make matters worse, says Patrick Cockburn. There are good reasons why Britain and other foreign states should limit their involvement in the conflicts now raging in the Arab world. The uprising against police states, both Republican and monarchical, in the Arab world is entering its fifth month without a decisive victory by either the powers that be or the protesters. In Tunisia and Egypt, the political and military elite felt that if they got rid of their geriatric leaders along with their families and cronies, they might prevent radical changes in the political and social status quo. Well, that's the official line, but it really isn't true. This was, in fact, insider political papers paid off in large sums, by millions and millions of pounds and millions of dollars, by MI6 and the CIA in order to create change. Well, the Syrian army is moving to crush in blood the protesters calling for democracy and the overthrow of President Bashar al-Assad and his regime. Unburied bodies lie in the streets of Deraa, the city in the south, which has been the center of popular unrest. Will the government succeed? Well, the chances for the moment look evenly balanced, with almost everything depending on whether or not the demonstrations continue to march and rally over Syria, despite the savage repression. Well, that's also the official line, that there's savage repression. But in fact, this demonstrators provoked an armed response by firing on the police, which was not covered by the media. In Bahrain, the monarchy, aided by Saudi Arabia and other Gulf states, and ultimately with the U.S. providing the direction, destroyed the pro-democracy movement and is terrorizing its supporters. Syria is going down the same road as Bahrain. At the end of the last week, President Assad and his inner circle appear to have decided that such limited concessions as they were willing to make were only being interpreted as weakness. They gave orders to the security forces to shoot unarmed demonstrators and stamp out all signs of dissent. Well, repression in Syria may work for the moment. The government has a core of support based on the Alawite minority to which the Assad family and top military and political leaders belong. There are others who work for the state and fear change, as well as Christian and Druze minorities who do not believe the opposition claims to be non-sectarian. Well, a lot has not been said about Damascus. Damascus is by far the largest city, and its demonstrations have in fact been mostly in favor of al-Assad. There have been small counter-demonstrations. But there is unrest. The souks are full of men in leather jackets and beige trousers. That's a symbol of the secret police, or Mukhabaret, as they're called. There are constant reminders to Syrians that government spies are ubiquitous, listening in for any dissent. Activists estimate that the number of secret police on the streets has more than doubled since the protests started. And a long-standing culture of fear of the authorities means Syrians are reluctant to express any revolutionary views openly. Well, Michael Chudovsky thinks, however, that there's a broader agenda going on in Syria, trying to destabilize the broader Middle East and leading to a larger war. What is unfolding in Syria, he writes, is an armed insurrection supported covertly by foreign powers, including the U.S., Turkey, and Israel. Armed insurgents belonging to Islamist organizations have crossed the border from Turkey, Lebanon, and Jordan. The U.S. State Department has confirmed that it is also supporting the insurgency. So the destabilization of Syria and Lebanon as sovereign countries has been on the drawing board of the U.S. NATO military alliance for 10 years, according to NATO Commander General Wesley Clark, a former globalist who has had second thoughts about the agenda. The Pentagon has clearly identified Iraq, Libya, Syria, and Lebanon as target countries for eventual intervention. The five-year plan included a total of seven countries, and he was writing this in 2001, November. As I went back through the Pentagon, one of the senior military staff officers had time to chat. Yes, we were still on track going against Iran, he said, but there was more. This was being discussed as part of a five-year campaign against a total of seven countries, which we just listed. I left the Pentagon that afternoon deeply concerned. Well, the objective is to destabilize the Syrian state and implement regime change throughout the covert, through the covert support of an armed insurgency integrated by Islamist militia. The reports on civilian deaths are used to provide a pretext and justification for humanitarian intervention, just like what happened in Libya. Tacitly acknowledged, the significance of armed insurrection is casually dismissed by the Western media. If it were to be recognized and analyzed, our understanding of the unfolding events would be entirely different in Syria. What is mentioned profusely is that the armed forces and the police are involved in the indiscriminate killing of civilians. Press reports confirm, however, from the outset that the protest movement and exchange of gunfire between armed insurgents and the police happened with casualties on both sides. The Dawab protest movement on March 18th had all the appearance of a staged event involving, in all likelihood, covert support to Islamic terrorists by Mossad or Western intelligence people. Other reports have pointed to the role of Saudi Arabia in financing the protest movement. Saudi Arabia is the controlled bag man for our own terrorists, has been for years, ever since they helped finance the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. And then there's the role of Turkey. The center of the insurgency has now shifted to the small border town of Cizre Şişli, 10 kilometers from the Turkish border. It has a population of 44,000. Armed insurgents have crossed the border from Turkey. Members of the Muslim Brotherhood are reported to have taken up arms in northwestern Syria. Well, a large rally in Damascus on March 29th with tens of thousands of supporters of President al-Assad was barely mentioned by the press, yet in an unusual twist, the images and video footage of several pro-government events were used by the Western media to convince international public opinion that the president was being confronted by massive anti-government rallies. Now, that's a direct distortion of the news, because in fact, what they were showing in the masses were people who were demonstrating in favor of the government. Now, with that said, al-Assad, of course, is no wonderful guy. He has, in fact, done a lot of torture in the Middle East. He's even done torture for the U.S. CIA. That's where they sent the Canadian fellow, Arar, that they captured to be tortured in Syria. So, you know, when you make a common bed with a globalist, you've got to be, willing to be betrayed. And clearly these people like Gaddafi and Assad are being betrayed by their the globalists who have permitted them and tolerated them over so many years.
Well, it appears, Joel, that the American official foreign policy is to destabilize that entire area of the world. And, of course, as we've said before, it appears that eventually, probably, the Muslim Brotherhood will take over. We'll have a great Muslim, a united empire that, of course, we can have a war with. And I think this is all a prelude to the coming war with the Muslim world. And the average American finds it so difficult to believe we're creating the best enemy that the CIA and MI6 can buy.
Well, you know, it's still somewhat of a question in my mind how big of a role the Muslim Brotherhood is going to be playing in this. So far, they haven't been allowed to take over in Egypt. The military is still in charge. The same people under Mubarak are still in charge there. And we're yet to see how this is going to play out in Syria as well. But clearly, if they let the Muslim Brotherhood and all the radical people take charge in these countries, there's going to be hell to pay for it, and the U.S. is going to get blamed for all of this unrest that happens. But so far, as I say, the Muslim Brotherhood is being given a peripheral guerrilla type task from their sponsors and not is not being allowed to rule. Whether or not that will change still remains to be seen.
We'll just have to wait and see. I hope and pray I'm wrong. Go ahead.
But clearly there's still an agenda. Newt Gingrich keeps pumping up the Muslim threat. Half a dozen people around the world, especially in the Christian movement, who is supportive of Israel, keep pumping up the Muslim threat as if this is a raging war of civilizations. Joel Richardson, a prominent Christian writer, has tried to make a big case for the Muslim threat. I am skeptical myself. Ever since the Ottoman Empire, I don't think that the Muslims have ever risen to any greatness whatsoever. And in fact, they seem, ever since World War I, to simply be puppets of the Western establishment. Anytime they go to war, they still have to be supplied by arms by the West or the East, and have never been able to manage any thrust, particularly on their own. They're a great deal of infighting, a great deal of corruption among the leadership. I just don't think the Muslims are capable of putting anything together except to act as cannon fodder for major Western nations or Eastern nations who want to promote them.
Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen right here, the American Freedom Network.
Florida Tile in Fort Collins is proud of our U.S. men and women in uniform. We thank you and your families for the sacrifices you've made to defend our freedom. We pray for your safety in war and your safe return home. We honor those who've given their lives to fight terrorism. This message is courtesy of Florida Tile at 1833 East Harmony Road, number 9 in Fort Collins. They support the men and women of our armed forces in our community.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all test for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA. Gift of the Earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Bug Eyes Pest Solutions says that over the summer, children shouldn't be out of guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing to do. Give your kids supervised activities. The best weapon against delinquency is family time. That's from Bug Eyes Pest Solutions, who exterminate anything. They offer you a complete pest control service for business, industry, and home. Call 307-214-3001. Bug Eyes Pest Solutions. For information on their contractual services at sensible prices, you'll receive a written guarantee, free inspection, and estimates.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, I just stand back here, our guest Joel Skousen, and before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief and how they can get your books on the A Secure Home on Strategic Relocation and the other. But go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief comes out every Friday. usually after this interview, when I get it put out on the net, it is by a, there is a modest subscription price, but people can get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. On my website, I also talk about the various books that I have for my architectural career in high security. My largest book is Secure Home, 700 pages of everything in high security construction to complete self-sufficiency. The bestseller is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, in its third edition. An all-new edition, almost three-fourths changed from the previous editions, with colored maps of all the states and regions in the United States, charts analyzing every type of data, as well as a new section on foreign retreats as well. The last book is a architectural plan book on how to do a safe room in a basement called How to Implement a High Security Shelter in the Home. All three of these books are available by calling Radio Liberty
at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and they're certainly among our best sellers. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, let's switch topics and talk about the economic blindness to debt that continues in this nation. Michael Pinto, senior economist at Euro-Pacific Capital under Peter Schiff, is a well-established specialist in the Austrian School of Economics. He excoriated Bernanke for his latest failures to explain the Fed's actions relative to what's really going on in the economy. He said Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke is in desperate need of a new crystal ball. His prognostications on housing, inflation, and GDP haven't been even remotely close. In fact, he may not even be effective at playing horseshoes or throwing hand grenades. In his press conference yesterday, Mr. Bernanke had to lower the Fed's central tendency projection for real gross product from the range of 2.7 down from his prior guess of 3.3. Bernanke blamed the slowdown in the economy on temporary factors, mostly related to the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. So a reporter asked him why the 2012 GDP estimate would be lower if the slowdown was only temporary. In response, he actually had to say this, quote, we don't have a precise read on why this slower pace of growth is persisting. Get that? He doesn't even know why the slow growth is persisting, but he's confident it's temporary. Myself, as well as a few others, have been hammering the Fed, said Pinto, and the administration for not understanding the true progenitor of this crisis. This crisis is one engineered by an overwhelming level of debt. It is not about interest rates being too high or any temporary exogenous shock like the tsunami in Japan. It is about the need for the public and private sectors to deleverage. That means selling assets and paying down the debt. My comment is, at this stage, that's simply not doable. It is the correct thing, but there isn't enough assets and paid out of the debt to sell. It would amount to almost $300,000 for every family in the United States. And who's got that kind of money? You just don't have it. We're in over our heads. Pinto then says a little naively, I would expect no demand that the chairman of the Fed understand what we're saying about the debt. It's not that I expect the professor to come up with the idea himself, but if people like me are constantly hammering him with the facts, at least I expect him to assent to the truth. My comment is why. He's talking as if these people in government are sincere and making mistakes. This is not true. They are covering for a concerted plan to destroy freedom and free market economics by making them look bad and blaming them for what is in fact a global cover-up of debt and underhanded financial dealings that have made them wealthy. Not to worry, though, our government has a solution on the inflation front. According to Dow Jones, lawmakers are once again considering changing how the CPI is calculated. The new proposal would once again shift how the CPI is calculated to reflect how people tend to change their spending habits when prices increase. For example, consumers tend to drive less when gas prices increase dramatically. This is wonderful news. When you don't like the numbers, just keep changing the calculation method to make it look lower, inflation look lower. All you have to do is not measure things going up in price. So if the dollar value plummets even more and we have zero buying power and can't purchase anything, then inflation would be zero. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Except that the economy doesn't work. Well, CNN Money had the results Thursday of Bernanke's I don't have a clue attitude. U.S. stocks were reeling on Thursday as fears of the economy run high. Federal Reserve's dim economic viewpoint put investors in a funk from the get-go on Thursday. The Dow Jones slumped 185 points, almost 2%, and 28 out of 30 blue-chip components were in the red. The market is spooked because Bernanke has no clue, said one New York Stock Exchange trader, adding that the economy is in the crapper and there's no clarity on the future. U.S. stocks started falling Wednesday after Fed Chief Bernanke issued a dour assessment of the economy that gave no indication that any additional stimulus measures are in the works. Well, I guess it's the promise of more bailouts that makes all the markets run. Don't worry, they won't be disappointed. There will be more bailouts, both for Greece, the European Union, and here in the United States. The debt problem drives almost all of the policies, which, like the CPI, must be continually manipulated in order to hide the seriousness of the insolvable debt crisis. As Tyler Durden put it, right now, thanks in large part to the Federal Reserve, Uncle Sam can borrow at an average cost of just 2.5%. The average borrowing cost over the last three decades have been 5.7%. Our debt is now $14 trillion and is scheduled to grow to $25 trillion. By the end of the decade. Now, that's only the government-admitted debt. Real debt is somewhere between $50 and $60 trillion. That includes other guarantees, loans, and other obligations, pensions, etc. If interest rates normalize over that period, the added interest cost in 2021 alone will be $800 billion, more than 20 times the $37 billion in budget cuts that tore up Congress in March. It would take virtually all of the cuts in the Ryan budget just to cover that added interest, much less start to bringing down the national debt. Unfortunately, the Fed is now in a fiscal box, and normalization of interest rates would break the Treasury. Hence, the normalization of rates really can't happen. We're stuck in a world where the Fed must keep rates artificially low in order to prevent a budget disaster where it can't pay the interest on the debt. Meanwhile, as Fox News pointed out, two Republican negotiators on Biden's budget task force have quit. Majority Leader Eric Cantor and Arizona Senator John Kyle, they bowed out Thursday morning saying that the White House is adamant about raising taxes, at which the Republicans protest. Well, you see, nobody wants to have their taxes raised. Nobody wants to have their benefits cut. There is virtually no way for politicians to vote for reality without getting ousted out of office. And that's why this is an insolvable situation.
Of course, the globalist policies, which are still intent upon sending our jobs overseas and sending our factories overseas and sending our manufacturing overseas. As a result, the jobs can't come back. The economy cannot ever recover, and so until the globalist policies change, and they're not going to change until we have tariffs to protect our economy, which is not going to happen, America will continue the downward spiral into oblivion. We'll be right back with Joel Skousen.
American Legacy Firearms in Fort Collins reminds us to salute our troops. Show them your support and send a care package today. This message from American Legacy Firearms in Fort Collins, the leader in custom engraved and laser engraved limited edition firearms and one-of-a-kind guns you can't find anywhere like NRA pistols. They offer special prices for NRA members and veterans. Call 221-0502. That's 221-0502 or visit them online at AmericanLegacyFirearms.com. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network. Last segment of the program. Joel, go right ahead.
Well, let's talk a little bit about oil price manipulation. A couple of weeks ago, we reported that insider investment firms Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan were predicting oil price rises in the $130 to $135 per barrel range. One subscriber countered that they were just talking their book. That means talking up the direction in which they were betting, hoping to get others to jump on the bandwagon. That bandwagon was apparently a false ride and is now collapsing after the Obama said he would release 30 million barrels of oil from the strategic reserve. The International Energy Agency is also getting 24 other nations to release 60 million barrels in total, 30 of which is coming from the U.S. In a sudden reversal, Goldman now says that a 60 million barrel release by the end of July has the potential to reduce our 3-month Brent crude oil price target by $10 to $12 a barrel to $105 to $107. Now, I find it hard to believe that Goldman didn't know about the political manipulation of oil prices just announced. Instead of talking their book, they may well have been talking a false book in order to sucker investors into going long on oil while they and others were shorting oil in anticipation of the big downturn. That would match what my subscriber said relative to the oddity of Goldman's original projections 2 weeks ago, that the COT, which is the commitment of traders in the markets, showed that the commercial brokers were heavily short on oil, short oil, meaning that they were betting that oil would go down. These are the real insiders that are always privy to the manipulation of oil supplies. And if they were betting heavily on oil falling, even as the Arab Spring rebellion was heating up, they obviously had other information than the fundamentals. This may very well be another political move on the part of the president to help assure re-election. Rising gas prices are very unpopular with drivers now. According to the LA Times, every 10-cent increase in the price of gas drains $39 million a day out of consumers' wallets. If there is obviously a coordinated bid, there was obviously a coordinated bid by the Western powers to push down oil prices in order to stave off growing public unrest with rising prices. The announcement comes after OPEC failed to raise production at a meeting June 8th. And despite assurance from OPEC's largest producer, Saudi Arabia, that it would lift supplies unilaterally. Saudi Arabia is always in lockstep with the Western powers because the Western powers promise to keep these corrupt sheiks in power as long as they continue to flow oil to the U.S. Crude oil prices have stayed at or above $100 a barrel since February. Fighting in Libya has caused a loss of about 1.5 million barrels per day from global markets, actually mostly European markets. But there is no shortage of oil in the world. Nervousness about unrest spreading to other oil producers and speculative investments are the ones pushing crude prices to painful levels. But these things are very much manipulated, and I'm glad to see gas prices coming down. But in fact, we cannot ever have any relief until they allow a lot of these strategic oil reserves that have been kept bottled up in the United States to be able to be explored, and it looks like some of those things are going to start to be unleashed. As I've said before, I think this is because the powers that be know that war may be coming sooner than we think, and that they want to make sure they start to tap into American production. I think they've been holding our production off the market and using foreign oil so that we'll have our reserves available when war comes. A war which, of course, they don't intend to stop from, hitting us, but of which they want to prosecute the war for their globalist purposes.
And I fear you're right, and I fear that there's nothing worse than a war. The trouble is, when you have a war, you're never absolutely certain who's going to win. And the only thing worse than war would be losing a war or the devastation that could come to our cities and our communities because of that war. Go right ahead.
Well, Americans really don't have any idea. It's been so long since the United States has received any attack at all, and that was on a token attacks during World War II by the Japanese. But it's important for people to realize that all of the beauty that we have in our cities and the well-oiled infrastructure and the shipping around the world and the nation that gets food to our table and natural gas will all end if a nuclear strike comes on the American. It isn't that everyone will die. In fact, I estimate that only the maximum 10 or 15% of Americans would die. Now, that's a lot of millions of people. But still, it means that a lot of people will have to deal with the survival of not being able to go to the store to buy things. They're going to need to be able to provide for their own food and water and other supplies and energy supplies. And you can do a lot of that if you prepare in advance. That's why I've written those books like Strategic Relocation and The Secure Home to help people get prepared for that. You know, this isn't a defeatist attitude that we're predicting the doom of the United States. It's something that we have to be very realistically aware of, that in fact our government looks like it's going to betray us in this next war so that it can talk everyone into a global New World Order solution. But we've got, if we're going to fight for liberty, we have to be able to survive the war. And if we spend all of our days simply talking up the problems and don't prepare for a takedown, then we will be unprepared to live another day and to survive the martial law and other things that could potentially come when war comes upon this nation.
I agree with you totally, and I think that somebody has to be on the wall sounding the alarm. That's your job and mine. Go right ahead.
Yes, that's true. But as I say, we need to encourage people to continue to prepare to lose as we prepare to fight for our liberty. And it doesn't make it any easier in our political battles when we have false conservative Republicans growing by leaps and bounds in the polls, manipulated by media into media promotion. This week, former Utah Governor John Huntsman announced his official candidacy. I'm really worried about this because, in fact, he's getting a lot of press when there should be none. He really differs very little from other candidates other than the fact that he's on the more liberal side of them. That isn't going to fit well within the Tea Party movement of the Republican Party, who wants to see someone more conservative. And this person would not be very much different from Barack Obama in his ruling. The Huntsman family, in fact, has been major donors of Harry Reid, who is the arch leader of the Democrats, senator from Nevada. And even though John Huntsman himself has never personally committed, every member of his family have, and we happen to know that this family is very unified in their political beliefs. I happen to think that John Huntsman is not a conservative, but is someone who's simply out to please the establishment. The biggest question, of course, is why is the establishment pushing him? Perhaps they're attempting to keep Mitt Romney from being elected by providing a more liberal version. It's going to be hard to tell, but we'll be watching that.
We'll have to talk to you next week, Joel. Thanks so much. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
CINN stations in Ault salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here. I hope you enjoy our regular Friday program with Joel. I think you must understand that we are headed into another major war. This is not happening by accident. In fact, nothing is happening by accident. In my estimation, this whole crisis with Greece could be solved if they wanted to solve it. Remember, they allowed Lehman Brothers to go down in September of 2008 to precipitate this whole economic contraction. The major banks are sitting on $3 trillion. The major corporations are sitting on $2 trillion. They could get the economy going if they wanted to, but we have the Brotherhood of Darkness that wants the economic contraction, that wants to bring inflation to America, that wants to destroy our economy, that is shipping our jobs overseas, our factories overseas, our manufacturing overseas, because, of course, their dedication is to this one world government. When you understand that, everything is in a much clearer perspective, and you won't be sitting around wondering, oh, will the Greek crisis, you know, bring a collapse to the European banking system and spread here? Ladies and gentlemen, if it occurs, it was planned that way. As President Roosevelt said in politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, it was planned that way. Well, let me suggest that you get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, our talk on the secret, the forbidden secret, and the dark secret, and the syllabuses with the last two. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to help Radio Liberty as we try to expand our network of stations across America, why, we'd love to have you step forward. We're still regularly losing supporters, not because they don't believe in what we're doing, but because they've lost their job. And many more people are going to lose their jobs as they continue intentionally, purposely, maliciously contracting our economy. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position to join, but you agree with me that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational, even on the medical battlefield, give us a call. Or please pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. So there's so much material. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can watch our videos there for nothing. You can listen to our radio programs for nothing. You can read our newsletters, and they're well worthwhile reading for nothing. Get yourself educated, copy anything we have produced, and spread it out. Your job is to reach other people. Tell them about our ministry. Get them listening. Get them informed. Get started working locally with groups to try to get them involved in education. Start with understanding the Constitution, then our political process. And certainly freedom once lost, it will never be regained. Remember, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And in understanding the forces that are shaping the events that are taking place today is not based upon facts to be learned, but rather upon secrets to be discovered. And so, until Monday, when we'll be with you again, Lord be with you.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology.